time and be educated and entertained by the country's most famous environmental scientist. Joey B has researched grizzly bears, wolves, and birds of prey. He continues to travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Be ready to be amazed. Here's your host, Joey B.
Hello and welcome to Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. Man, do I have the coolest job. I travel all across America to bring you the very best that nature has to offer. Today, top 10 filming adventures. Hey, I've been truly blessed to film all across this country of ours. And I just said, well, we've got the top 10 series going, so what would be my favorite top 10? I'm going to give them to you, and it's in no specific order. But I want you to know that as an environmental scientist, as a filmmaker, it's just been a blast. You can watch all of my adventures on joeyb.tv. That's Joey B's Outdoor Adventure. So my number one on my top 10 is the ostrich farm. And we went out there with the expectations, I guess, of just seeing, and I'm sure you all know, ostriches are these big old animals, and they were monstrous. But the first thing that happened when we were there, we were brought over to the babies. And I am telling you, the babies, and you can see lots of my photos on Joey B's Outdoor Adventure, on Facebook, on Tumblr, on Twitter. Twitter is at Joey B Outdoors, J-O-E-Y-B-E, Outdoors. Well, their baby ostriches are like these little fluff balls. I mean, they're feathers, but I mean, they look like little fluff balls walking around. You know what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to repost a photo up there so you'll be able to see them. These guys are really cool. And then we walked over to the next pen, and the next pen had some that were a few months old. So you're sort of seeing the stages, no fluff left in them, feathers formed, still cool looking. And then we get to the yearlings, and the yearlings were pretty big. You know, and out in the field, obviously, I already saw, you know, as we were walking in, I saw the monstrous ostriches out there, and the yearlings decent size as well. But when we went over near the yearlings, and I tell you, the farm itself had this, let me tell you, when I say aroma, it was a negative aroma. So right away, I am thinking of ostriches, and they smell, and they reek, and the cameraman's going, oh my goodness, I can choke. Well, they also raised hogs, and I'm going to say this, those hogs were left in their wallow. I was not real impressed with the way the hogs were being raised, and that was the smell that was there. The ostriches, it's funny. You looked at the two of them, and the ostriches were as clean as could be and taking care of it, and then you looked at the hogs, and just not there. But let's go back to the ostriches. So we get out to the fields, and in the fields, you've got mommy and daddy, and you know that horses, they kick backwards. Well, ostriches, they kick forward, so you need to be careful of that. And what would happen is the farmer every day would actually go out, and I'm going to use the word steal, but not really steal. He'd go out and take the eggs. And the reason why he took the eggs is, he joked, well, we can raise them better than the parents. Well, that's not really true. But because of the predators, specifically coyotes that were out there, they would take the eggs in, and they would go through the hatching process. And that's why they had the baby little fluff balls all in that one pen. So there is my number one. Now, this show is brought to you by Ramsey Outdoor Stores. Whether you shop online or in one of their stores, your experience will successfully gear you up for your next adventure. Go to RamseyOutdoor.com. Now, my number two, and one of my favorite things to do, was horseback riding through the Rocky Mountains. And hey, you know me, and some of you have seen some of my adventures, and we actually filmed one for PBS that I'll get into a little bit later on, and it was horseback riding. Well, I'm going to tell you that I met up with the Maddox family out there, and it is a family with strong family values, and every Saturday morning, the dad and three boys, Maddox family, they are going out for a ride together, and there was this bond. They were going to take me along as one of the boys, and we were going to head into the Wasatch Mountain Range out in Utah. This is where they lived. Think about this. You look out the back part of their farm, and you're in the Rockies, but you then start to see the mountain range going up and up. Well, we trailer up the horses. We drive maybe a couple miles to get into the base, the foothills of the mountains, and then we began our climb. And I am telling you, this was a climb. Now, some of the rocks these horses are climbing over, and I'm just going to say are easy 3 foot. And a great trail horse knows exactly what to do. So it's sort of like you're there for the ride. Again, if you're an experienced rider, you're okay. And these horses would just climb, never stumble, and just climb. And I'm telling you, when I say we climbed up the Rockies, there were places that were super, super steep. And then it would just open up into this vastness. I mean, you're looking out and you're seeing waterfalls. We climbed to the top, the Wasatch Mountain Range. And when we were up there, I'm going to say over 10,000, maybe 10, 11,000 feet somewhere. And you're now at a glaciated lake on the top. And at this glaciated lake, we didn't bring fishing rods. And I am looking at native trout jumping like mad. And I'm going, oh, man. So we made this deal that I will be back someday. We will, not necessarily that glaciated lake, but we said that we would go and film and fish a horseback slash fly fishing adventure in the Rockies. And we also discussed that I will go horseback with him through my, I have a couple favorite national parks, Bryce and Zion National Park, which are close to them, which are two of the greatest, most beautiful national parks. So Maddox family, yes, I will be heading back out there. Now, we got to an area coming down, a place they call the Wash. And the Wash was, think about when you've got sedimentary rock and it begins to wear out and it becomes almost sandy. And I'm going to tell you, looking down the trail itself, and I'm saying as steep as you could be down the side of the Rocky Mountains, maybe for about 100 feet is all this real soft material. Well, one at a time, they go over the side and they actually, the horse jams his back legs, because again, they know what they're doing, and they slide down the Wash. And Father Maddox was saying to me, Dad's going, he says, Joey, I don't know if you have the guts to do this. This is what we do every week. He says, the trail will take you back and we'll catch up with you. Well, he didn't know that I am a horseman, truly. So we actually went down. I went down the Wash. Pretty unique thing. And you can actually, yeah, again, all these adventures you could see at joeyb.tv. And going along with that family bond, when we were done, we all go out to lunch. I did ask to pay, and Dad said, no. This is what we do. You're part of the family. And that just, hey, when somebody says that to me, that means a lot. And that made the end of that adventure a great adventure. Now, moving on to my number three of my top 10 filming adventures is got to be Lefty Cray. And actually, I've had the opportunity of filming twice with Lefty Cray. And I've been with him a few other times. Now, Lefty is the world's greatest fly fisherman. And you go, okay, so what's the big deal? Well, Lefty is in his, I'll just say, middle 80s. I don't know the exact age, nor would I ever ask him. And when I say he's the world's greatest fly fisherman, we were filming at a fly fishing convention one time. My cameraman's behind Lefty. Lefty's mic'd up. And let me tell you, he is hilarious. His wit, his humor, his knowledge, you put it all together. And he's talking about, you know, techniques and this and that. And about, there's this little, they create this little casting pool. It's really like a long piece of blue tarp that goes for about 50, 60 yards, 70 yards, filled with water. And the different casting experts will get out there, mic'd up, and they'll talk. So Lefty is talking, and he goes, hey, you see that lady down there who's talking while I'm talking? She shouldn't be talking when I'm talking. He's just smiling, laughing. And he works on his cast while he's doing all this. And they don't have any hooks. They have actually flies without hooks. So obviously it makes sense indoors. And while he's talking, saying, this lady should be, and he casts and he lands the fly on the top of her hat. And I am saying, like, hey, I'm pretty good at what I do. I am not brilliant. This man is absolutely brilliant. And I also want to give a shout out in this with Lefty Cray, because TFO, Temple Fork Outfitters, their fly rod company, Rick Pope, who is the CFO of the company, Rick, generous man, generous to everyone. But Rick is the one who put all this together and allowed my filming adventures to go on there. So thanks to Rick. And filming with Lefty Cray definitely had to be in that top 10. And I wish Lefty many more birthdays. So going to number four on my top 10, it's filming with my great friend, Inspector Dave. Now, Inspector Dave, the organic gardener. And think about this. One of my degrees from Rutgers University is in botany. So, hey, I know plants pretty well. I've done a lot of farming in my lifetime, so I'm pretty good. I am telling you that every time I go to Inspector Dave's garden, hey, many times we're filming, sometimes we're just out there, I learned something from this man. He has spent so much of his life and so much of his energy into learning the organics. And let me tell you, he's brilliant at what he does. And it's not just his garden, his lawn. You look at the lawn on the house next to him, and I won't say whose name, one of his neighbors, because, by the way, I only have a few neighbors in the area that I live in, and these guys happen to be there. And one is a chemically treated lawn by a landscaper and right next to Inspector Dave's. And you look at it, especially in the warm summer months, it is just beaten up because if you notice, the roots don't go deep at all. Just when you, if you're doing your, and I'll use Scott's, there's a million other companies out there using them, they don't do well. And you look at Inspector Dave's organic lawn he uses, wow, from Gardens Alive. And again, I don't get any money from saying these things. He's just, and I am telling you that his lawn is spectacular all year long, even in those warm times. So I filmed some lawn care with him as well in his garden. He has bees. So we talk about garden bees, and I've mentioned this many times on the Joey B shows here, that Joey B is allergic to bees, but his honeybee hives that are back there, we filmed there. We've also filmed with commercial farming. So we've gone to Aspergillus Farms to see how large-scale drip irrigation, because Inspector Dave's, and we've done this, we filmed a session on drip irrigation. He uses a system out of Canada, a drip system. So we went to Aspergillus Farms to see how it's done on a large scale. We filmed with his bounty. That is the harvest. Harvesting time there is spectacular. And you know what? I grow lots of my hot peppers there as well. See, I share crop a little bit over there. And it is corn. If many of you have eaten fresh corn, if you've never eaten it out of the garden, well, don't go raiding Inspector Dave's, but it is just brilliant. All the things that go on over there. And because he happens to be a close friend of mine, we fly fish many times. We filmed a few fly fishing adventures as well. Kayak many times. And just that friendship, that bond you have with someone. So now, let's go to my number five, and that is on the Clydesdale farm. When they call them gentle giants, they surely are. We were filming on Willow Grove Farms, and Morgan Lane, and her dad, her sister, they are great at what they do as far as training the Clydesdales. But when Morgan and I, we spend quite a bit of time together filming, just hanging out, chatting and all, and she has this great outlook on life, and it is extended into the way that she teaches people. She is an awesome educator. Well, we filmed a piece out there for PBS, which then led us over to RFD-TV, which then led us over to U2 America. So we're doing quite a bit with Willow Grove Farms. And when I was out there, my top 10 filming adventures, well, I filmed with Morgan on how to drive a team of Clydesdale. Most of you are seeing Clydesdales around Christmas time, the Budweiser Clydesdales. Well, learning how to drive that team, just, and I use the word often about awesome. That was an awesome experience. And then it is so cool when you're riding them saddleback. We filmed a separate adventure, and we actually packaged all of this together for PBS. Well, you're riding saddleback, and you're riding these monstrous horses. You're riding them English. I grew up being the Western because, hey, I'm a cowboy. And you're riding them English, typical, close to English saddles and all. It's just really, really neat. And let me say this. The farm itself and, you know, having a farming background, what it takes to run a farm full-time, no days off, there is, it's amazing what the Lane family does out there. And in their breeding program, because, hey, I told you about baby ostriches before. Think about baby Clydesdales, another special, special animal to see. So moving on in my top 10, going to number 6 right now is the Cranberry Bogs. And I filmed this with Ocean Spray. Well, we show up down there. I'm a graduate of Rutgers. Dr. Chickalee's on the Rutgers Research Farm there. There's a number of them. She does research with cranberries and blueberries, and the blueberry episodes we filmed with her are also great ones to watch. Well, we go down there, and we are first in the Rutgers greenhouses, out into the Rutgers fields, but then we head on over to Ocean Spray. And one of the neater things, and one of the first Ocean Spray commercials, you know, old gentleman, young gentleman, well, I recreated one of those commercials with them out there. And if you remember that, the guy pours the bag of sugar and says, no, no one eat these cranberries right over here. Well, I am there in the bog, and all the workers are going, look, look. And they're staring, and they're laughing hysterically, and camera people, and everyone's going, shh. And so we recreate that commercial there with them, and we go through the progression, because people just see cranberries, and they go, oh, magically, oh, bogs, oh, they grow in water, and the answer is, no. They are these low-growing plants, the cranberry plants themselves. So we head into the bogs, and we took a look at how they are grown. We took a look how they raise new beds of cranberries, because they're putting different varieties out there. Just like with the blueberries, it makes sense. Farmers want different varieties because you could extend the growing season. Henceforth, they can, with all the hard work they do, they can extend the amount of money that they're going to make. Then we show how these bogs are flooded, which is a really neat thing because you're just basically using the same water. And when one bog is completely flooded, and I'll talk to you about the process, about how they're harvested, then they just move the water, open the gate to the next bog. So the water's recycled, which, hey, as a scientist, that's a good thing. Now, they have their own harvesting machines. And so many of the farmers there, because it is huge co-ops, they work with Ocean Spray, and it is their way of shaking the cranberries loose. And now the cranberries, because they are hollow, they float. And now that they're floating, they have to be harvested. So you'll see all the workforce in fishing waders in the bogs. And they're basically in water. It's, you know, a little bit not between west and waist. I can't say waist and chest, west. So it's chest deep below water, that type of thing, that level. And they're out there walking with these huge boards and shepherding all the cranberries. When I say shepherding, we're talking about millions of cranberries and moving them into one direction. And there's a vacuum in the middle, and it actually sucks up the cranberries, shoots them through this vacuum, through a tube, to a tractor who sends them onto a conveyor belt, which then shoots them into a, think about the largest pickup truck, take that back, largest dump trucks you've ever seen. And they're only used for this purpose here, for the harvesting. And think about the largest dump truck you've ever seen filled with cranberries. Now I'm saying not millions anymore. It is by the billions. So now they've got these trucks, and what do? They drive down the road, and Ocean Spray has their packaging plant right there in the middle of all the bogs. And they get in there. They are washed. It's pretty cool, the washing process on the outside, then washed again on the inside. And they are packaged right there and shipped right from the location. So the whole process of the cranberry box is a really, really cool one. So that is number six. Moving to number seven is the Avian Wildlife Center, filming with my great friend Giselle Smisco. And Giselle, as I've mentioned to you about some other people being brilliant at what they do, Giselle is a raptor rehabilitator. It is her job to take care of injured eagles, owls, hawks. But really, in essence, raptor rehabilitators take care of all injured birds. It is their ultimate goal to get them back released into the wild. And that can't always be done because some animals are injured so bad. And if they can't be released, they are kept there and they're used for educational purposes. Well, I have filmed some PBS stuff over there for them as well. And I'm going to tell you that I have filmed with barred owls, with screech owls, with baby screech owls. So we filmed many adventures at the Avian Wildlife Center. The baby screech owls, we were inside at feeding time, and some of them with, again, they do eat mice. So all of this going on. We have filmed with Giselle just about talons, just about feathers, like how do birds fly, like things like that. There are some resident birds we spoke about. One is the red-tailed hawk trooper. And you see, here's the neat thing. Can't release trooper into the wild, but trooper and some other red tails have actually been foster parents to other birds. So these birds carry on, while they're in the center there, they carry on many other roles besides ambassadors to nature. I like that one. I just made that up right now. We've filmed with Giselle the release of chimney swifts. So one day I was filming with her actually how she was raising these chimney swifts that were abandoned. And then we went to a, makes sense, a chimney. Can't tell you because it was an undisclosed location. And we actually released the chimney swifts, and you see them flying up. You see chimney swifts flying out of a chimney, then meeting up, circling together. And we did this at migration time, and they actually all just took off together. And that was nature at its best. Then we actually filmed the release of a red-tailed hawk. So Giselle was releasing this, and I'll get to the banding part in a few seconds here. So I was the one who got to release this red tail into the wild. I've done some great things in life. That was one of the neater ones. And then we actually were releasing an osprey into the wild. And Giselle spoke about actually the fishing game, the bands. She showed the bands, the numbers, explains all of it. Showed, we did a great close-up, because osprey is just a real unique bird by coloration, by his talons, by the pads on the bottom of his feet with his talons, all of that. She shows out a band. We go out to a field, and she got to release that one. But that was, you know, once again, one of the better ones that were out there. Now, my number eight goes to the skunk whisperer. The skunk whisperer happened to be me. It was a comical solution to a serious problem. Hey, my windows are always open because I just love nature. I love breathing fresh air. Well, when you've got skunks living right outside your garage door, then you don't have fresh air. And not just there, anywhere around the house as they're walking around the house. So I had to come up with a humane method of asking the skunks to move on. And I'm not going to tell you what that humane method is, because I'm going to tell you right now, when you watch The Skunk Whisperer, which is one of the most viewed episodes that we have, I do explain exactly how I was able to ask them to move on without caging them, without, because, hey, I get calls from all my family, all my friends. I got this, and can you get rid of them? I got a call from one of my friend's dad saying, hey, I got a big old skunk in the garden. I caught him in a cage. Can you get him out of the cage? Well, hey, like, hey, I am not like, you know, those alligator hunter guys and crocodile guys. Where, well, I did release him out of the cage. I took care of that. But sorry that I just threw that in there. But I'm going to tell you that I was able to ask him to move on. My cameraman and camerawoman, we had two for the day, they were not happy about this assignment on this day. Well, besides being able to get rid of them, and it took some time, and I share that in the adventure, I also created, I shouldn't say this, that I created, I put together the recipe, if you ever did get sprayed, because, yes, tomato juice does not smell well unless you're going to a pasta party, I guess. I have no idea. Well, the real recipe is there, but the end goal was to ask them to move on, and in a comical way, to a serious problem, we got them to move on. So that's actually one of my favorite ones. And now, number nine on my top 10 is smallmouth fishing tactics with Bass Pro Mark LaPrete. Now, the perfect setting for this was we went up to film crew up to Lake Champlain. Say, hey, I picked these beautiful settings, Rocky Mountains, Lake Champlain, and I'm going to tell you that it was this pure, clean, clear water. When you're fishing out there, you could see the fish attacking the lures, and it was the perfect setting, and I had the perfect teacher, because Mark LaPrete, besides the pro, he is so great at what he does. And by the way, we're going to get Mark LaPrete on this show here, doing a top 10 of his favorite fishing tips. So we'll get a future show with him. We also filmed with Edwin Arias out there. He's was brilliant from fishing from the bass boat we were on, and also fishing from the kayak. And Edwin would come and pull up with like a 3-foot pike on, and he'd be in his kayak. Yeah, that's what I just got right now. So, well, with Mark LaPrete out there, besides the beauty and all that's going on, he's giving all of his fishing tips. He's giving his techniques. And then he came up with the Mark LaPrete knot. Now, think about this. If you're a bass pro, you're out there on some of the tours trying to make money. What are you doing? It's pitch blackout, and you got to tie a fishing knot on. Well, Mark came up with this really cool knot. We did it in super slow motion. My editing team just great at what they do. And you were able to see that knot and use that knot. Hey, and that knot is for all of you. Now, I was actually running the cameras at one time on the back of the bass boat. I've got my fishing rod next to me. My lure is sticking out of the water. So we're about 2.5 feet, 3 feet above the waterline. And I'm filming, and I am telling you, a 3-foot pike jumps out of the water, jumps after my lure, and just misses it. And Edwin Arias happened to be on the bass boat at that time, and he looked around, he looked at me, he had this smirk on his face. And afterwards, I said, Edwin, how cool that would have been. He goes, it wouldn't have been that cool because if he grabbed that lure, your rod was gone too. I was like, yeah, guess what? So cool to see though. Now, it was a spectacular day, spectacular fishing. We were there for a few days filming. And I am telling you, that definitely is in my top 10. Had to be one of those days. Now, my top 10, number 10, has to be Joey B versus the squirrel. And once again, this is the most viewed episode that we have. It's a comical solution to a real problem. Now, if you're a birder out there, you're going to understand this problem. You know, here you are trying to feed the birds. And again, this is just me. If a squirrel wants to take some of the food, I have no problem with him taking a little bit of food. But when he grabs the whole bounty and runs, well, then he and I have a problem. And at times, because I have seed bells out there, he would bite through the netting on the seed bell. It would drop to the ground. Now, the seed bell is, I guess, weight-wise, probably weighs more than him. He'd grab it in his mouth. He'd do the Heisman pose, look at me, smile, and take off. And I'm like, no, here. Well, then I started to come up with all these ingenious methods. I said, I can outsmart squirrel. Come on. Hey, how smart? I know they're smart, but how smart could they be? Well, I am telling you, it was my wits against his. And for the most part, this guy was winning. And I was like, no way. Well, I ended up getting the squirrel away baffle. And without giving the whole thing away, well, the Songbirds of America and I, well, we all won on that one. That is one for you definitely to check out on joeyb.tv. And in my top 10, there was a battle for this list. And you know, the ones that were close to making the list, the Treetop Adventure Course, and it was a zip lining adventure up there. It was, we talked about a rush. We tracked migrating bald eagles from Canada along the Delaware River. Didn't make it, but that one was real close. I have filmed with the PBR at MSG. Oh, listen to all those initials out there, but real close. I love small zoos. So as I travel across America, I film in as many small zoos. So we've got many of the small zoo adventures. Small zoos have some real large animals. Something for you to check out. And I've also filmed many adventures with my great friend, Greg Cleaver, who's a dog behavioral therapist. And we're going to get Greg into the studio so that he can talk about dog behavioral issues. So some more there. So we just finished filming the documentary Glow of Freedom. Now I get to go back out into the wild and film many more adventures on the trail. Until next time, enjoy life's adventures. You can follow all of my adventures online at joeyb.tv. That's joeyb.tv. And a very special thank you to the men and women of our armed forces for keeping us free and for our police and firefighters for keeping us safe. May God bless America. Until next time, this is Joey B. Enjoy life's adventures. Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure. Joey B's adventure. That was awesome.